your enemies, pray for them. These relationships. Now, we're talking about all various sorts of relationships and people that it could be very brief kind of relationships that you meet someone, and could be brothers in Christ, Christians, people you go to church with, could be, you know, your family, could be school, work, any kind of, all of these different kind of, you know, meetings and relationships that we have are what's on the table for discussion in this section. And Jesus is addressing all of those, even those who we might consider our enemies, you know, those relationships as well. And then one thing to keep in mind as well, when we start thinking about these, that we'll come back to, is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And you know that one. And that is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All right, we'll keep that in mind as we go through here. All right, so to start off with, there was an obituary that appeared just a couple of weeks ago in Redwood Falls Gazette in Minnesota. It's Kathleen, her name's Kathleen Demlow. Kathleen Demlow was born on March the 19th, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude Shunk of Wabasso. She married Dennis Demlow at St. Anne's in Wabasso in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle Demlow, and moved to California. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Shunk. She passed away on May the 31st, 2018, in Springfield, and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her. What kind of a relationship existed there that caused that to be published in the newspaper? I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? It's like, wow. Wow. That's incredible. So, your first task, get out your phones. And this time, I'm serious about you getting out your phones. I was serious last night, but there was just a little bit of technical difficulties. So get out your phones, and I want you to type a word or two. I think you've got an ability to type a couple of words there, of descriptions of what relationships, undesirable relationships, just an adjective or two that you can think of a relationship, and you wouldn't want this to be in that relationship at all. You know, just write down a couple of words there. All right, so with those words as they're appearing up there, selfish is coming out a lot. Jealousy, yeah. Lying, don't want that in relationships, do we? Want to be able to trust. Unloving, angry, greed, abuse, jealous, you know, harmful, neglectful. All right, so we all know, we all have a good idea, a good grasp on what we don't want in relationships. All right, so go ahead and flip it back. So this was my list, just a few things that I thought of, same kind of things that I don't want: strife, enmity, jealousy, arguments, factions, envy, anger. Absolutely. All right, now what do we want? All right, get your phones out again. And same thing, what word, adjectives, a couple of them, that you do want in your relationships. This is what you want in these relationships. Yeah. So, as that continues to build, honesty, love jumps out. Trust, we're going to talk a good bit about love this morning. Helpful, loving, godly, caring, communication, respect, understanding, peace, all excellent things that we just want in our relationships. Go ahead and change it. These are things that we want in our relationships. So, you know, my list looks very similar to yours. Now, here's the thing. What does God want in our relationships? Now, what did we say in Matthew chapter 5? What did we already see there with Jesus? All right? It's pretty important, these relationships. Stop. Don't bring your offering yet. Go resolve this matter. Be reconciled. Then come back and bring me your offering. It's pretty important. Look in Galatians chapter 5 with me. Now, what is Galatians chapter 5? What has it got in there? It's got the fruits of the Spirit, right? So think about those kind of things. These are the words that you guys used in what you want in these kind of relationships. Galatians chapter 5, a lot of the same kind of verbiage that you guys want is in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, all of these things are the adjectives that you all chose that God wants in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4 also, Paul talks a lot about unity. Where does unity come from? Good, solid relationships, right? You can't have bad relationships and still expect unity, maybe in a congregation. That doesn't work. Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, all eager for the purpose, eager to maintain what? Unity. So it's very, very impactful on our Christian lives. Now, so this is what we want. This is what God wants for us. Now, how are we doing at that in our lives? How are we doing it at these kind of relationships? Now, think about relationships. Before we do that, all right, I need to find some information out from you. Raise your hand if you have a pet. All right, we got a lot. Okay, all right, you got to leave them up. All right, you got a pet. All right, I raise mine too because I got a pet. All right, keep your hand up if you like your pet. I'm putting my hand down. All right, so we got a lot of people who like their pet. All right, now, if you leave your hand up if you have in the past bought a present for your pet. Whoa, man, no hands went down. That is incredible. All right. Okay. Now, here's what. All right, keep your hands up. I need to pick somebody. All right. Keep your hand up if you don't want to be volunteered, if you don't want to volunteer. Oh, yeah, that got everybody. Y'all don't know what I asked, do you? How about you? What's your name?
Nick.
Nick, where are you from? Where are you?
Alabama.
Where in Alabama?
Lacey Springs.
All right, cool. What's your pet's name?
Percy.
Now, I need to ask this question first, because if this is a cold-blooded animal, I don't want any part, and I'd like to ask you to leave if you have a pet that's cold-blooded. Now, is Percy cold-blooded?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what is Percy?
A dog.
Okay, you have a dog named Percy. Perfect. Now, When's the last time you got into an argument with Percy? Oh, okay. So no arguments. When's the last time that you guys disagreed and he just got really mad at you? Okay. You didn't feed him? Okay. All right. Now, what's the best thing about Percy? What's something that you know, you think, Percy, this is great?
He's loyal.
Loyal. All right. Very good. All right. Now, has Percy ever said anything that really made you feel bad?
One time he barked at me.
He barked at you. Okay. But was that an angry bark or a good bark?
Can't really tell sometimes.
All right. So my point is, thank you very much, Nick. I appreciate it. So the point is, with our pets, of course, with all you guys, you're buying them all kinds of presents. Of course they like you. But with our pets, that relationship's really pretty easy, isn't it? They like you, you like them. It's all smooth sailing, you know, with your pets, right? There's no issues. It's perfect, right? All those words we talked about, loyalty, right? Companion, love, all of those things that y'all listed that you want in a relationship, you've all got it with your pets. So when do relationships get difficult? All right, now you tell me. I've been talking the whole time. When do relationships get difficult? What kind of circumstances? Okay. Yeah, you don't have to get into details. That's okay. Disagreements, that's exactly right. That's okay. Relationships get difficult when we disagree. What else? Or they can get difficult, I'll put it that way. All right, distrust. That's good. When do they get, yes? Oh, okay, stress from outside. You know what was one that I put on my list? When I'm tired. Why is that the case? Why does the relationship get difficult when I'm tired? Because relationships take what? Work. Yes, they do. All right. Now, how do we handle the situations when it gets difficult? When the waters aren't smooth anymore, they're a little choppy, maybe even it's full-blown thunderstorm on this relationship. Whatever it is, how do we deal with that? All right? Well, when we disagree, what is your tendency? All right. So here me and so-and-so, and we disagree, all right? What do I know about my side of it? It's right. Will's exactly what I was, what I think is right. They're not right in this. I've got to persuade them to my side, right? Yeah, absolutely. And we think, and we don't say it, not usually, but my viewpoint is more what than yours? More important. Wow. Guess what the person over here on the other side's thinking about this side of the argument? That his idea or her idea is what? Right. And more important than yours. And all of a sudden, here comes the thunder and the lightning on this relationship, the storm, the stormy waters. What about in a relationship where I've been hurt. Some of you put that on your on the cloud of relationships, that things that you don't want a relationship. What about a relationship that I've been hurt in? What is my natural tendencies in that state? Give it back as much as I've been given. Yeah, get them back. What does every movie in existence of a bully on the playground teach us to do to the bully? Put them in their place, knock them off their feet, and, you know, win all the glory for putting them in their place. Yeah. What if I'm wrong? What if in this whatever disagreement it is, and it turns out as we're talking about it and maybe not too nicely talking about it, and I figure out I'm wrong? What's my options then? What do I want to do? Okay. I may want to defend myself, even though, because I want to protect. What emotions might be running through me? Embarrassment that I'm wrong. Fear of the consequences of me being wrong in this. You know, deflect. If I'm wrong, what might I be tempted? And this happens a lot about the other person that I'm talking to. Well, you do the same thing, right? And deflect away from me and what I'm wrong about and cast the light on something else, anything else. Just throw something out there as a defensive mechanism, right? Well, if I've been betrayed, that was on your list. I saw it up there. Make them feel as bad. As bad or worse than I do. So these are things that we naturally, our natural inclination is our reactions to doing these kind of things. But in these peaceful, calm waters, it's easy, right? In these relationships. With your pet, good relationships, you can kick your feet up, sit back, relax. In this relationship, everything's good. But when the storm is on a relationship and the thunder and the lightning and it's choppy waters and it's dicey, then that's when we've got to go to work. All right? Go to work. What does the Bible say about how I should act in these, you know, stormy relationships? Well, first thing is, look at self. I knew he was going to say that. What's the last thing we want to do when we're in this relationship and a conversation, whatever's going on? What's the last thing that we want to do in this argument or whatever's happening? Is look at myself. What do we want to do? Blame the other guy, right? Because he's the one that's wrong in this. Let's talk about looking at ourselves. And even yet, sometimes what we'll do is we'll use the other guy. We'll use that guy to justify my bad behavior in this. Now, think about this. What if, and I say, come back with, I probably shouldn't have said what I said, but he just made me so mad. So we justify our bad behavior by blaming him for making us mad. Now, I'll give 5 extra points in this class, in this section. What's wrong with that statement? I probably shouldn't have said it, but you made me so mad. What's the glaring error in that? I think it's one other thing in there. All right, who else can I pick on? All right, I'll pick on Dakota. All right, Dakota, with all my abilities that I have, I'm going to make you mad. Are you ready? You're ready. All right. Perfect. All right, now Dakota, on a scale of 1 to 10, how mad did I just make you? Okay, let me ask it again. Because I know I've got more power than that. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how angry did I make you? I didn't? Not at all? A little bit? Okay. All right. I'm powerless. Lee, I'm not a failure. Don't say it. Don't use those words. Can somebody make you mad? Being mad is a choice. They can say a lot of things, can't they? And boy, those things can sting and hurt. But who makes you mad? Yourself. You choose it. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about some scriptures here that will obligate me to keep my cool in these type of situations. All right? First of all, look over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Anybody know kind of what it says without thinking? Be angry and what? Why does he have to tell us to be angry and don't sin? What usually happens when I get angry? I do something wrong. I sin. Right? So he warns us, straight out, plain as day, be angry and don't sin. Well, what's the rest of that say? The last part of 27, and do not what? Well, even further than that, the latter part of that. But yeah, you're right. And don't let who? Yeah. Do not give the devil an opportunity. All right. Proverbs chapter 17. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs on this topic. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. All right. So what does he say there? What impact does that have on our conversation right now? What about when I'm mad? What should I do? What does Proverbs tell me to do there in chapter 17? Restrain my words. He who restrains his words has what? Knowledge, right? Proverbs chapter 12. There's one who speaks rashly like thrust of a sword. Verbal thrust of a sword. Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to what? Hear, slow to what? Speak. All right. So why is focusing on self so important? I am rarely innocent. Plug in some Matthew chapter 7 right now, verses 1 through 5, going back to Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, what's that about? Getting the speck out of someone else's eye. I've got a log, a beam in my eye. Yeah. We tend to do the opposite of what that example is. We tend to maximize the faults in other people and minimize my own. Jesus reverses that for us. What does he say? You may be trying to help get a speck out of somebody, but what? You've got a beam. You've got a log stuck in yours. What is that telling us? Look at self, all right? Look at self. I am the only person I can change. Now, I did my best to put the whatever on Dakota and make him mad. Now, I'll choose somebody else and I'll try to make you change and be the best godly person in Christ-like attitudes. How much power have I got to make that happen? No. Who can I change? I can change me, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Jeff used this, and I wrote it down. He used this last night. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So as much as I can do, as far as I can go, whatever I can do, as much as I can do, be at peace. Take the high road. All right. The next thing is, now that we're looking at self, what do I start with? Start with my heart. What is that getting at? Think motive. What is my motive in this? All right? What is my motive? The motive, my motive is the engine that's going to drive what I'm saying and my actions, how I'm treating these people in these different relationships, right? My motive. Now, how do you determine what your motive is? Because I'll tell you, motives can shift in discussions very quickly without you realizing it. Because if you get into a real one-on-one, you know, kind of a discussion, you know, argument in a relationship, and well, I just lost my train of thought. I'm going to come back to that for just a second anyway. To identify my motive, ask yourself three questions, all right? What do I want out of this? What do I want for the other person, and what do I want for this relationship? Those kind of questions will take emotion out of it. What if somebody is over there and they're hurling insults at me and things trying to hurt me? What do these three questions do for me? It helps me, okay, put whatever hurt I'm feeling aside and look at the actual substance of the conversation and say, why are they saying this? What do I want for me? What do I want for them? What do I want for this relationship? Okay? All right. Last slide here, but we'll spend the rest of the time on it. This part is tough. We're looking at self. We're starting with heart. And now we're going to show a biblical love. Love your what? As yourself. Y'all know these. I didn't even put the passages up there. It's in your notes, though. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as, those are easy, as I have loved you. Love does what long? It suffers long. But they're the ones who need to be suffering long in this relationship. No, it doesn't work that way. Who's the only person I can change? Who have I got to start with? Who have I got to look at? Love does not seek its own. What does that take about my opinion in this disagreement about my opinion and how valid and valuable my opinion is in this? Love does not seek its own. Love blanks, 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 and blanks, all things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Bears all things. For the relationship, if you want something for the relationship, by the way, what if it's somebody you hardly know? What do you hope for that relationship? Hey, maybe it's someone that's not a Christian and I can talk to and bring to Christ. Okay, so that's my goal for them. What's the relationship? Hey, we could be brothers in Christ. That would be amazing. What do I want for me out of this? I want the best for them. So asking those, well, that's my motive. What if they come back in a religious discussion and, well, you're crazy for believing that. That's ridiculous. All right, so what do you do with that? You take offense? It's not religious. Jesus says it right here, and you confront and you battle and you win that battle. What might you lose in the way you do that? What do you want for them? To embrace the gospel, right? If you do it harshly, you might win the battle, the debate, but guess what? You're going to lose because they don't want to have anything to do with that. You're going to lose the war, right? How does Jesus tell us to go to our brother? Gently, with compassion, right? Relationships takes a lot of work and a lot of thought about how I communicate and how I say things. What about this believes and hopes all things? Believes all things? You're telling me believe everything? What do you think that's talking about? Believing and hoping all things. Think about a parent who has a child. Maybe he's getting grown and, you know, college or later, and he's gotten addicted on, you know, pills and, you know, running out of them. So he's actually gone and to address it, addicted to drugs or whatever. And he goes into rehab and he gets clean for a while. Then he relapses and goes back. And he goes and gets clean again and relapses. What is a parent always going to do? Always going to hope, always going to believe that this time is it. So what's the three things? Look at self, all right? Start with heart. Start with me, my motives, and show biblical love. Thank you for your attention. I went over. So Steve has some announcements.